Violence in the schools, violence in the workplace, shootings and killing sprees grab the headlines, but there's a much more common form of aggression in children and in adults. The verbal taunts, the subtle humiliation, the outright intimidation that can make life miserable, whether you're a seventh grader or a systems analyst, bullying. Two recently published books deal with rudeness and bullying, and today we'll hear from the authors. Robin Kowalski's book deals with adult behavior. She's a psychology professor at Clemson University, and her book is called Complaining, Teasing, and Other Annoying Behaviors. She says these days it's easy to flip someone off from the relative safety of your car or dash off a menacing email or voice message without ever having to look someone in the eye. Kowalski says we live in an era that's rife with incivility.
People are just ruder than they used to be. You know, back in, say, my grandparents' generation, people were very tolerant of one another. You didn't see road rage going on or air rage. You didn't even hear those terms didn't exist at that time. I mean, certainly people had issues with one another, but they didn't express them to the same degree. And now there's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't annoy you. I also think that we've become, in one sense, more tolerant of it, and therefore the likelihood of its frequency increasing is high.
How is it that we now see this sort of culture of complaining in America? And is it unique to the West?
I think it's more unique to the West. You know, you would think that developing countries, for example, who would have more to complain about than we do in Western culture, would complain more. And there's very little data on that. But just conversations with other people have suggested to me that that's not true. And I think it goes back to the technology. It goes back to our expectations. It goes back to incivility in general, that we're just never satisfied. So because our expectations are ever increasing, if they're not even close to being met, then we're going to complain.
So what is it? Why do people behave badly?
I think that behaving badly, however it manifests itself, serves a lot of different functions. I think it gives people a sense of control. You know, if I can tease you or tease somebody else, then in essence, for that period of time, I have a certain degree of control over you. Similarly with teasing, I can raise my self-esteem. If I can put you down, you know, even if I mean it good-naturedly, if I can put you down, then I can make myself feel better. I think part of it is boredom relief, and I think part of it is just unconscious. I think that's why it'll never completely go away. You know, there's a lot of things that we do. Complaining is another example where, we're just not even really thinking about the fact that we're complaining until it's called to our attention.
So people fall into two camps, basically, those who are more likely to dish out this annoying behavior and those who are more likely to be annoyed by the bad behavior of others. And it starts often early in life. If you are someone who is often the victim of teasing or find yourself often annoyed by other people, how does that affect you? What kind of adult does that young person become? And conversely, if you're someone who has always been teasing others or behaving rather badly, what kind of adult does that young person become?
We have done some research looking at the effects of teasing on victims, and it's retrospective, so we're having college students reflect back to times that they were teased, and they're typically teases that happen in elementary and middle school. So it's many years later that they still remember these. And some of the things that they say are, it's an incident that I will never forget. It's affected my perception of myself forever. So clearly, teasing, being a victim of teasing, can produce an adult who still has some hang-ups as a function of what they were teased about. As a perpetrator, you know, a lot of perpetrators don't realize that what they did was bad. You know, so when they're reflecting back on it, you know, they may feel some guilt, but it was the rare person who said, although there were some of these, who said, you know, I wonder what that person that I teased or victimized is doing now. You know, I hope she's beautiful and happy and the whole nine yards. But they typically don't realize it. At the other extreme, some of these perpetrators who teased in childhood are going to grow up to do the same thing in adulthood, although it's going to manifest itself in different ways. And teasing and bullying among adults has received very, very little attention. But it's you know, it can manifest itself even as sexual harassment would be a type of teasing and bullying in adulthood.
So if you're in a situation, Robin, where someone is just really working your nerves, I mean, they're annoying you, how do you deal with that?
That partly depends on the nature of your relationship with the other person. You know, like when children are teased, a lot of parents will just say, well, just ignore it. But that's really sort of invalidating the hurt that this person is experiencing. And even among adults, I'm not sure just ignoring it or walking away is the best thing. In an ideal world, you could simply acknowledge, you know, this has hurt my feelings, or I don't like it when you do that. And that probably is not a bad first recourse. You don't want to retaliate in kind, because then you're just going to set in motion a vicious cycle. So I think the best first step is just to try to acknowledge what's happened, because again, a lot of perpetrators don't realize that that's what they've done, and particularly among adults, hopefully they would respond positively to that.
Robin Kowalski, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Robin Kowalski is a professor of psychology at Clemson University, and she's the author of Complaining, Teasing, and Other Annoying Behaviors. When children are victimized by bullies, the response is often, it's simply part of growing up. But teacher and author Robin Katch says it doesn't have to be that way. In her book, They Don't Like Me, she says there are ways that schools and teachers can minimize hurt feelings.
I think that there are children who are more prone to being teased. And I think also it's true that there always will be some teasing. But I think that in a classroom that is structured to have clear moral values and a clear procedure for dealing with what you do when those rules are broken can have a lot less of it. And what's left can be dealt with by helping the other children learn what to do when they're teased.
By the end of the book, you seem to come to the conclusion that bullying is not necessarily innate human behavior, but it's something that is learned and somehow programmed into children, and therefore it's changeable or preventable.
I think that there always is some amount of teasing and bullying and exclusion, because it does seem as though primates often want to get their pecking order. So I don't really think that we're going to eliminate all the bullying or all the teasing or exclusion. What I do think is that we can give children a way to handle it. We can help them talk about it so that when it comes up, they'll know that they have a right to have things changed. And I think that by realizing that we don't need to give children answers to the problem of bullying, what we need is to help them be able to express their feelings about it, be able to come up with possible solutions for it. That way we can really give them the tools to deal with bullying and teasing whenever it comes up in their lives.
Jane Katch, thanks so much for talking to us.
It was a pleasure to be here, Michelle.
Jane Katch is the author of They Don't Like Me, Lessons on Bullying and Teasing from a Preschool Classroom.